This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Okay, welcome back. Glad you are here. Let's go right over to the phone. I'm very, very happy to welcome back to the program the chairman now of the FCC, Ajit Pai. Mr. Chairman, welcome back on the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you again.
You know, I had you on before. You weren't chairman yet. Obviously, President Trump elevated you to that position, so congratulations.
Thanks very much. I feel very blessed, and it's just a remarkable privilege.
I like the fact that you're a free market guy. I like the fact that you're a free speech guy. I like the fact that you are somebody who is takes a common sense approach to things like, well, you know, internet regulation, for example.
I very much appreciate that. I mean, we didn't have much of that over the last 8 years, and certainly not over the last 3.5. But we're committed going forward to embracing the free market, the rule of law, and doing what's right for American consumers and taxpayers.
I read your op-ed on the air that you wrote in the Wall Street Journal about everybody was losing their minds, you know, thinking that the Republicans have just allowed now your privacy to just be sold on the internet. And you really set the record straight on that. So I'm curious now, what protections exist for people on the internet right now?
Well, a couple of different points. First and foremost, I'm committed to making sure that consumers, when they go online, are protected in a consistent and comprehensive way. And that's precisely why I've been working with Federal Trade Commission Chairwoman Maureen Olhausen to make sure that we have rules that apply to everybody in the internet economy, internet service providers, edge providers, and others. And so going forward, we're going to make sure that we develop a framework that's consistent with the law and that protects consumers from whatever company might hold their sensitive information.
The idea of net neutrality, where does that stand right now?
So last week, I proposed the repeal of the Obama-era internet regulations. This was a problem that didn't need to be solved, that didn't exist, and the solution has simply been worse than anything that the proponents of it could have predicted a couple of years ago. And so going forward on May 18th, we're going to be voting on a proposal to remove these regulations, to restore the free and open internet, and to increase the incentive for companies to build out networks, especially in rural and low-income urban areas, which haven't yet seen the full benefits of the digital revolution.
That's wonderful because really, as I looked at those internet regulations, they really favored the big, you know, providers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these regulations are so heavy-handed, and what we've heard from smaller providers is that it has made it difficult for them to find financing. It's made them put their decisions to deploy on the shelf, and they're simply trying to wait out the storm. And you know, that's the wrong thing, I think, in 2017, when we want these companies to provide a competitive alternative to some of the big guys and to deliver digital opportunity to many more Americans.
How do you, Mr. Chairman, Ajit Pai, Chairman of the FCC, how do you reach those parts of the country that don't have broadband, for example, which is so critical for business nowadays?
It's hard because you know, the business case in some of these areas is just very difficult to make. And so there are two basic tools in the toolbox that we can use. Number one, the FCC can streamline its regulations to make it easier to deploy in some of these areas. And this is the bread and butter work of the FCC, you know, making it easier for companies to get access to utility poles or to string fiber under the ground. The second one is the wiser stewardship of some of the federal subsidy programs that we oversee. And in just the first month since I became chairman, for instance, we adopted a number of market-based efficient reforms to direct over $6.5 billion over the next 10 years to connect unserved America with both wireless service and fixed or wired service. And I'm convinced that over the coming years, we're going to see a flowering of internet access, especially in rural America, where it hasn't been seen before.
But you got to get government off their back, in other words. You have to create the conditions whereby the innovation can be unleashed.
Absolutely. And, you know, under the prior administration, unfortunately, the message was we don't necessarily care about you deploying further. We want to micromanage the networks that you've already built. And the results speak for themselves. The digital divide, as I've called it, is getting wider. Millions more Americans who want internet access or want a more competitive marketplace aren't getting it. And that's something we're committed to correcting in the time to come.
I want to ask you, if I could, Ajit Pai, chairman of the FCC, obviously Stephen Colbert in the news for his...
Yeah.
His comments about President Trump the other night. Some people have said, hey, that's an FCC violation, what he said.
Well, you know, I have had a chance to see the clip now, and so as we get complaints, and we've gotten a number of them, we are going to take the facts that we find, and we are going to apply the law as it's been set out by the Supreme Court and other courts, and we'll take the appropriate action.
So you're actually going to be looking into it then?
We have received a number of complaints, as I said, and so we'll follow the standard operating procedures, as we always do, and make sure we evaluate what the facts are and apply the law fairly and fully.
Now, if you were to find that there was a violation, then what happens then at that point?
Traditionally, the agency has to decide if it does find a violation, what the appropriate remedy should be, and a fine of some sort is typically what we do.
A fine of some sort. So, they have the seven dirty words. Are they still in business, the seven dirty words?
It's changed over the years since George Carlin's monologue, but there are some basic rules that we apply with respect to indecency before 10 p.m. and obscenity after 10 p.m. that kind of guide our thinking on these issues.
The obscenity after 10 p.m. So after 10 p.m., it kind of becomes the Wild West a little bit?
It's more the amount of conduct that the indecency rules are applied to is more relaxed.
So would you then put out a statement saying Colbert is cleared if you don't bring a fine against him? How does that work?
We haven't made any decision in this case, of course. It's we received a number of these complaints. But typically what we do is make an evaluation and then make a decision in the appropriate course. Now, one of the things that we found over the previous years is that these complaints just sit on the shelf without any determination whatsoever. And so we're committed to making sure that we evaluate these complaints and try to do it in a timely way.
Chairman Ajit Pai, are you able to comment on your thoughts on what he said, or do you have to remain impartial?
I have my own personal opinions, of course, but I have to remain impartial because we need to be an objective referee, so to speak, of all of these complaints. And I don't want to prejudge whatever determination the FCC might ultimately make on these questions.
You haven't been a guy that's gone after speech, though. I mean, you're not like the FCC commissioners back in the 80s that used to go after Howard Stern all the time. You're not that kind of an FCC chairman, I don't think.
Well, you know, we have these rules on the books that we are duty-bound to enforce, and I'm committed to enforcing them. But broadly speaking, with respect to issues like free speech on campus or keeping the government out of newsrooms, I've consistently said that the First Amendment freedoms are important and that we need to protect them.
That's a great point about keeping the government out of newsrooms. You have a lot of these sites now, Mr. Chairman, who are, of course, all these up-and-coming sites and their political sites, and you have people blogging, and you have people who are tweeting, and citizen journalists, and there's some people... I think it was maybe Tom Brokaw or maybe Dan Rather, I forget who it was, who suggested you got to start licensing journalists.
To me at least, whoever said that, I have respect for that person's career in journalism, but frankly, those comments are just repugnant to the entire spirit of the First Amendment. The entire reason why the First Amendment the protections were adopted was specifically because we did not want the government to stand as a gatekeeper deciding what individual citizens could say, what they could publish, or how they could express themselves. And that goes back even before the existence of the United States, back to John Milton, who wrote the treatise that unleashed the free speech movement in the West was because Parliament at the time wanted to license what people could publish before they actually published it. And so that's not something I find very appealing at all.
That's good. That's wonderful to hear. The FCC won't be requiring journalists to register. And then because, if you register with the state, then the state can also take away your license if you're not good,
Well, and that actually calls to mind President Ford's famous dictum that a government that's big enough to give you everything you want can take from you everything that you have. And especially when it comes to constitutional freedoms like freedom of speech and press, that's the last thing we want to empower government to do.
Well, we're grateful that you're there, Chairman Ajit Pai of the FCC. We in Philadelphia thank you for that. You've always been a consistent defender of the free market and a free internet and freedom of speech. So thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much, and look forward to your Eagles beating my Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yes, in another lifetime. No, that'll be soon. It'll be this year.
That'll be great.
Ajit Pai, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Riccioli 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.